This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Then away we go into hour number two of the show this Monday morning. I'm just getting the final numbers for the weekend box office, this new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, my gosh, man.
It's just breaking all kinds of records.
How much did it make? Like $360 million or something over the weekend?
Something like
something
that.
Something crazy.
Yeah, on its opening weekend. So, I mean, it's right up there with The Odyssey.
Yeah.
As far as opening weekends.
You know, I was going to say, the theaters, man, they're having a heck of a summer so far.
Yeah, boy, do they need it.
Yeah, and then they've got there's some more movies on the way. Another Avengers is coming out. I think in, October or something like that. So they still got some big pictures they're supposed to be rolling out soon.
It has been a long and difficult 5 or 6 years since COVID.
Yeah.
Right? A long recovery period, but hopefully the theaters are coming back.
What's the last movie have you gone to a movie theater this year? I haven't.
Shoot, yeah, we did, and the movie was so forgettable. It was less than a month ago.
Yeah, I haven't gone to a movie, honestly, in 2 years. I think the last one I saw in the theater was maybe Once Upon a Time. No, Top Gun, The Maverick.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was the last. Yeah, it's been a while.
That's been a minute.
Yeah, and I just haven't wanted to go see a movie.
I would go see The Odyssey.
I would.
I'll check that out.
But that's it.
Or even Spider-Man 2. What was your favorite superhero growing up?
I had one, and it was because of the show, The Incredible Hulk.
The Hulk. Oh, that's a good one.
Lou Ferrigno, every time that shirt would start ripping, I'm like, yeah, here we go.
When to the end of every show, there's Bill Bixby walking down the highway.
Real sad song.
Thumbing a ride.
That's right. God, that was a sad song, too.
Who was yours? 945-766-1080. Your favorite superhero growing up? I guess mine probably Batman.
Batman? Yeah,
Batman.
He got really popular once that Michael Keaton movie came out.
Well, I mean, with me, it was that horrible Adam West TV series back in the 60s. I watched that all the time.
Batman.
Kind of cheesy, but
yeah, it was.
I was into it.
Well, I was into Catwoman. That's only, didn't she had like three or four different versions, and they were all hot.
Julie Newmar.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 months after Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her home in Tucson, we are finally getting perhaps a clearer picture of what happened to her. And it's actually just what we've been saying all along. Police have now released the full contents of two different ransom notes.
The first arrived the day after she was reported missing and was addressed to her daughter, today host Savannah Guthrie. We have your mother, Nancy. She is safe but scared. The note demanded $4 million in Bitcoin, and if not paid in 7 days, threatened she will be killed. Your mother is aware of this, and her life is in your hands.
Well, as it turns out, that was not the case.
4 days later, a second note claiming Nancy Guthrie, who relied on daily medication to survive, had died. We did not fully grasp the seriousness of her physical condition. We never intended to hurt her. That was not our intention. She perished shortly after she was taken. We believe it was heart-related. She is buried in nature now. The note concluded, we are truly sorry. Both notes contain the same Bitcoin address, and the author also claimed to know details from Nancy Guthrie's house, saying her white smartwatch was left at the foot of the bed and a backyard floodlight was destroyed. Investigators tell us those details are accurate, and the sheriff says labs across the country are working to untangle a mixed sample of DNA from as many as 4 people, and they're not giving up trying to trace those notes.
We're going to track it down until we find out who it is that sent that ransom note.
So they kidnapped this frail, elderly woman, and they think she's going to survive that? The shock
I guess
of that?
They said they didn't realize she needed that medication every day, and they died on her. And, she died on them,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
It's a heartbreaking situation, and it's funny that they still asked for the money. They said, your mother is dead, and she's with nature now. Whatever.
I was thinking about that.
Here's the account. Put that Bitcoin in there, will you?
Yeah, put the Bitcoin in, and we'll tell you where in nature she's buried.
That's ridiculous. So I guess police are releasing the ransom note with the hopes that somebody would recognize the penmanship or maybe the syntax, and they would say, oh, I think I know who did that.
Yeah, but the trail is cold now.
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you have released the ransom note 4 or 5 months ago? go?
Look, there's a lot of questions in this thing, and it all turns back to that Chris Nanos, the sheriff over there. And it's just, I don't care who you are, there were a lot of mistakes on this thing, and he needs to own up to it. He should have brought in the FBI immediately and gotten over, because that department is just not capable of tracking down whoever it was.
It does not appear. And it almost seems like there's been a lack of communication between them and the FBI.
Yeah, and how many times did we see this Nanos go out there and do every interview in the beginning, and it's like, maybe you just should need to shut up and do the work behind the scenes.
And letting the media come up with cameras
right
onto her front porch.
And they're zeroing in on the blood.
Blood still.
Oh, there's a lot of, yeah. Okay. Opening up that crime scene immediately. That's ridiculous.
The country's latest mass shooting, meanwhile, that happened this weekend in Twin Falls, Idaho, of all places, at an In-N-Out.
There are three victims that are deceased. Seven others are injured. Two of those patients have been treated and released. Three are in stable condition, and two are in critical condition.
Now, in addition, the suspected gunman is dead as well. 24-year-old Chad Williams. He wound up taking his own life.
At this time, we are still working to determine full set of circumstances in this incident, including the suspect's actions and possible motivations.
That is the local police chief, Matthew Hicks, who is giving high praise to two people at the scene who returned fire and forced Williams to leave the scene.
We can confirm that there was an off-duty state trooper and a citizen who actively engaged the suspect by returning gunfire towards him. We want to take a moment and commend the actions of the off-duty officer and the citizen and their heroic action to stop this incident.
Now, ABC law enforcement expert Robert Boyce talks about the next steps in the investigation.
The FBI, they have these databases and federal agents as well. You can identify things very quickly, where he bought the gun, where he purchased the gun, how long was he planning this. You can get back from the family as well. It's really important to take a look at these things. The FBI, local police, state police, put them together. Remember, Idaho State murders were 4 years ago and how successful that was. So that collaboration really matters in these things.
You talk to the parents, you check the social media, because motive, as you heard, is still unknown at this point.
You never understand these kinds of things. What is going through somebody's head? You can only guess that they're just mentally sick. Something's wrong, obviously.
I don't know. Were the victims targeted?
Yeah.
Were they shot because they were fill in the blank? You know, I don't know.
And they're always, I was bullied or something like that. And like, okay.
We'll find out more as police continue there. And I hope we'll find out more. Maybe it'll be like Nancy Guthrie.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll find out more in 6 months.
And we need to figure out that Nancy Guthrie. Do you ever think that case is going to get solved? At this point, like you said, everything seems to be so cold. I can't imagine them just saying, oh, we got an arrest now, or we know what happened.
With these ransom notes, why did you wait 6 months? It's not like she's going to come back to life or something. I mean,
no.
She's dead, and they know she's dead.
6 months, and now you're releasing the thing.
Then release the notes.
Immediately. Unless, again, there was something behind the scenes that you were holding on for. So maybe there were certain details that only the kidnappers would know, and you're trying to keep that close to the chest. But still, I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Hey, real quick, before we break, I wanted to mention this. You talked about this at the top of the Dallas Wings.
Yeah.
The big announcement. And who did they have make the announcements?
I don't know. I've heard of this guy, but I would not necessarily think Dallas. Okay, that's who I'm getting.
Let's listen in. Here it is.
Hello, everyone. It's Paige Beckers.
And Coach Jose.
In today's news, something very highly anticipated is coming in Dallas.
Let's get right to it. And the big news is?
Actually, I have a surprise coming for you from Studio A.
Hey, of course I had to welcome you to my city, Paige. Let's do it. Big stars, bigger stage. Dallas is our house. The Dallas Wings are officially moving to the America Airlines Center for the 2027 WNBA season.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to see you there.
All right. That was Big X, the plug.
The rapper, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all,
Paige,
she needs to get a little bit more enthusiasm. We have some news today. The Dallas Wings are moving.
Some people
I'm
can
really
do that.
Excited.
Some people have that. It's built in, you know, or they can, at, least, they can at least fake it.
Yeah, exactly. All three of them sounded kind of
blasé about the whole thing.
This is Big X to plug.
I think it is a big deal.
Yeah, you're moving to the AAC. That's where they should. Well, heck, the Mavericks and the Stars are moving out of there, so maybe just give it to the Wings.
Well, and that, of course, they'll still be there for the next few years, so scheduling might be a bit of an issue. I wonder if this is going to be, will this be a permanent thing now?
Well, they say it's going to be temporary until they build that that new arena out in the convention center and everything.
I know, but maybe you just kind of stop on that, you know?
They're having all kinds of problems with it, so why don't you just say, say, hey, why don't you just take the AAC?
It's one of those temporary things that hopefully will become permanent. So good for the Wings. They're moving into a real arena now.
A real arena, yeah. They're a real team.
Hope they can fill it up.
By the way, favorite superheroes from the 214, Batman in the 60s, and I don't know this one. Maybe you can help me out. Ultraman Rick from the 70s?
No, I think Rick was sending the text. Hang on.
All right.
Ultraman. Ultraman is a famous Japanese superhero.
Okay. Ultraman.
Created in 1966. Never heard of Ultraman.
Ultraman. I like Ultraman Rick a little bit better than just Ultraman.
Favorite childhood superheroes, 945-766-1080 here on KRLD. And when we come back, Tony Romo going through some tough times, but he's still got a big supporter in old Jerry.
That's my quarterback.
He is on Team Tony. We've got the story coming up.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
It's been a rough couple of weeks for Tony Romo. He's fighting those drunk driving charges in Wisconsin still, and now lost his job. This was just as we were going on the air Friday. It was announced that CBS was suspending Romo indefinitely and that he would be replaced in the broadcast booth with J.J. Watt. It is still unclear when or if Romo will be back, but if nothing else, and this is probably a small-time consolation, Tony still has the support of his old boss.
I don't have anybody that I've been associated with as a player, a coach, or a business partner that I think more of than I do Tony Romo. And I'm not talking about his ability to throw a football or as an athlete, just as a person, as a daddy. And one of the things that happens if you've got a lot of visibility, if you're out there, then when you hit bumps, everybody hits them. When you hit bumps, then get ready. There's going to be more made of them than they are. I know that anybody listening to me right now knows that if you're breathing, you're going to have some mistakes as you go along. And so there's no doubt in my mind that Tony will get through these times and make any type of adjustments that need to be made. But let me tell you one thing. I can't tell you how much I'm in Tony Romo's corner.
They're going to hit bumps now, Mike, and Lord knows I've hit them.
If you're breathing.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. Tony Romo.
Okay.
Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. He's your all-time leading passer.
I know there's a lot of people, their initial reaction to that would be, no. He didn't win a championship. But, I mean, the numbers, like you said, man, all time.
I'm going to tell you, he will go down. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of playoff wins, and that's his thing. But I think Jerry said it best when he went in the Hall of Fame. He said, I asked Tony Romo to do more with less than any quarterback with the Cowboys. And it's probably true. Now, he had some good teams, but, I mean, the bottom line is that I always think that Romo's a little underappreciated around here.
No, not by me.
Okay, I know. You might be the only one, but a lot of fans like, oh, Romo, they kind of roll their eyes at that guy.
He's always like, been one of my favorites.
You know, I think he just didn't have the teams that Dak, I think certainly that Dak has had a lot better teams than Tony Romo has.
And just the way he got the job, you know, getting thrown into the game at halftime.
That's right. It was Drew Bledsoe. And he just comes in, and the next thing you know, he won six straight or seven straight, and there's Carrie Underwood with him, and then in Jessica Simpson, the world just turns upside down for him.
Life began changing dramatically. And then we got the Rangers.
I mean, every time we start patting them on the back, they go out, blow it.
We should learn from that.
Well, I know. We're not going to talk about it.
1 week ago, there was a lot of excitement about the Rangers.
Yeah, we were in
they
first
just
place.
Won 3 out of 4 against the Mariners. First place, baby. Now the excitement is worn off after they lost 2 of 3 to Tampa Bay and then got swept this weekend in Houston. 11-2, 5-4, and 7-3 yesterday.
You got shelled.
Astros have now won 6 straight games. They've moved 2.5 games ahead of the Rangers in the West, and the Rangers now come home for 3 against the Giants and 3 against the Orioles. That's really disappointing.
Yeah.
The way they had been playing, now, an egg like that.
The good news is, if you look at the schedule, the Rangers have the easiest schedule remaining of the Seattle and Houston. But that doesn't mean anything. It's not like they're good.
But one thing, thank God they're done with the Astros this year. The season series is over. The Rangers went 4-10 on the season against Astros. And what that means is that the Rangers, and this was long ago, we knew they were going to lose the silver boot this year. The Rangers have now lost the silver boot series to the Astros 10 straight years.
Dang.
10.
I didn't realize that.
And in those past 10 seasons that we mentioned, the Rangers have won 55 games and lost 100 against the Astros.
They're horrible.
Trade deadline this afternoon, meanwhile.
This makes me sick.
How about the Dodgers? The Dodgers.
The rich keep getting richer, huh?
They wind up with the Tigers ace, Tarik Skubal.
The guy's won two straight Cy Youngs, and now he's going to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers already probably had the best rotation in the game.
And they don't even have, Ohtani's not even in the rotation. He's taking some time off because he's injured.
We could probably make us a little bit better, a two-time Cy Young Award winner. Let's go ahead and get that.
Skubal. And it's ridiculous. This is why there's probably not going to be a season next year.
I just hope to God I am anyone. Who's it? Atlanta and Milwaukee are the two biggest threats to the Dodgers in the National League. And that's a long shot, too. I'm just hoping Milwaukee can do it.
I don't know, man. This is, and the Dodgers, they keep coming back to this. The owners, they want a salary cap. Why do they want a salary cap?
Things like this.
It's because of this.
But the players are not going to go for that at all. And they have the biggest, the most powerful players union is in baseball. Probably season isn't going to happen.
11:30 right now at KRLD, taking a break. When we come back, going to tell you all about Duck Duck Jeep.
Yeah.
It's a new game you can play. It originated on TikTok, but this is not a stupid TikTok trend.
No one's in danger.
No one's going to get hurt. It's harmless, kind of dumb, but harmless. We'll tell you about it next.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Saw this post on Instagram. A guy named Aaron Gordon. They're talking about the Dodgers because we were just mentioning that they're traded for Tarik Skubal, the Tigers ace. The Dodgers have Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Yamamoto, Snell, and said, you know what we're missing? The best pitcher on the planet.
My gosh.
Normal team shop at Costco. The Dodgers roll into the Ferrari dealership and ask, what's new this week?
That's exactly what they're doing. And it's getting ridiculous to the point where, we used to say the evil empire was New York Yankees. Even the Yankees are like, wow, they're getting a little nuts out there in L.A.
Getting out of hand. So at the he says at the meetings, what's going to happen at the meetings? Meetings after the World Series this year. Forget long, boring PowerPoint presentations. The Dodgers, the owners, that is, they're just going to throw the Dodgers roster on the conference room Samsung and hit play.
That's exactly what
Exhibit
they're going to do.
Exhibit A.
What other evidence do you need?
Some owners have said they would rather lose the entire 2027 season than lose this fight.
Oh, boy. That means we're not going to get it. What was it? I can't remember which. We were opening day with the Rangers, and I can't remember who we were talking to, but they said that the chances of a strike next season are 60-70%, and I'm at really that high.
And it may be higher than that now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm probably up to 80. If you're saying the owners being that strong, because that's going to be a fight.
Hey, if you were making a movie or a TV series about the Mafia, Vincent Pastore, he's one of the first guys you would probably call. He had that look, right? So they cast him in Goodfellas and Carlito's Way, Gotti, and then his most famous role, the one in which his character had a rather unusual
nickname. I was
going
to wait for you to say it.
Well, if they get away with calling me Big Pussy, they could probably get away with a lot of things.
Vincent Pastore, best known for his role as Salvatore Big Pussy Bonpensiero on The Sopranos, has died. He was 80 years old. The actor was found dead in his Bronx home on August 1st. Police say he died of natural causes.
What's the matter?
What's the matter?
I know. Tony's your best friend.
President Franklin is my best friend, and he's in there.
Vincent, who starred in the first two seasons of the HBO Max crime series, now being remembered fondly by his co-stars.
I have a lot of favorite memories, but I think the best memory was when we were working on the last scene that I was in. And, there's just a lot of tears because it was my last scene. And
Michael Imperioli calling him a beloved friend, writing on Instagram, Vinny was a kind-hearted brother who cared deeply about his family and friends.
Speaking of Michael Imperioli, there was a famous scene in The Sopranos in which he and Pastore were trying to throw a body into a dumpster, but they didn't quite have the strength to get it up in there.
One, two, three. Come on.
We're shooting the scene, me and Michael Imperioli, where we're trying to get the body into the dumpster. It was really heavy. We couldn't lift it. We're trying to lift it. We're trying to throw it into the scene was we were supposed to throw it in the dumpster and drive away. So finally, after about three takes, we're trying to throw it up. I go, F this to Christopher.
Got him?
Take him to Staten Island, I'll cut him up. Dumped it in the trunk of the car and drove away, and that's what they kept on the show. It was like I don't know why I said that. And me and Michael were like laughing. Did they print that? And it was on the show.
So we'll take him to Staten Island and cut him up.
Cut him up.
Vincent
Sometimes
Pastore.
The best lines are improv.
He was 80 years old. All right, and you saw this, got you to wondering, and now that I've looked into it, I'm wondering too.
I was like, what are they doing here?
Why are some Jeep owners putting rubber ducks on their dashboards? It turns out it's part of, you got it, the new social media trend.
The game is called Duck Duck Jeep, and any Jeep driver who has rubber ducks on their dashboard is playing.
This is fun, and I see a lot of good collection in a couple of Jeeps. People have, like, ducks all over.
It's just like, hey, you drive a Jeep, I drive a Jeep. We're basically friends now.
The game is pretty simple. A Jeep driver spots another Jeep they like, put a duck on it.
They place them on the door handle to where they kind of just stay in place.
Like, wedged in there, and there was a little tag on its neck with, like, a piece of paper.
I'm really not sure where ducks and Jeeps make sense.
I don't know how that started.
The answer lies north of the border in the small town of Bancroft, Ontario.
I'm the one that started all of Duck Duck Jeep.
In 2020, as COVID restrictions were slowly being eased, Alice in Parliament went to a recently reopened department store.
And they had ducks on the shelf, and I grabbed a bag of them, figuring, hey, this would be fun to hide around the house.
When she came out, Allison saw a really nice Jeep out in the parking lot, and being a new Jeep owner herself, she wanted to leave a note, but didn't have anything to write on.
I decided to write on the duck because it was the only thing we had that we could ride on. And I wanted him to know that I appreciated the work that he put into his rig, because it was a beautiful Jeep. It had new wheels. It was lifted. It was beautiful.
Just as Allison was leaving the dock with the note, the owner came out.
And thankfully, he had a really good sense of humor and started laughing. He suggested that not only do we keep doing it, but that we should get social media involved. So I hashtagged it DuckDuckJeep and put it on our Instagram.
And within just a few days, it started taking off.
And here we are.
There you go. I was like, I didn't. I guess this is been around for a bit. I just hadn't noticed it. And now I'm like, what?
Now, every time I see a Jeep, I'm going to look on the dash.
And see if there's a duck, a rubber ducky on the thing.
And if there is one, now you know why.
Yeah.
Coming back to wrap it up this Monday morning on KRLD, Mike Rogers, Austin, York. It's the Mid-Morning Mic Check. We'll continue after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, your favorite superheroes growing up? Question we threw out there this morning. Luther in Pelican Bay. Mm-hmm. Our old friend Luther says his was Underdog.
Underdog? I remember that show.
It was a cartoon. Was it animated?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was all right, I guess.
Wally Cox did the voice.
Okay.
Not very superhero-ish. And Curtis.
Of course.
Weighs in and says his favorites were Ace and Gary, the ambiguously gay duo
from Saturday Night Live. they drove around in a car that was rather phallic looking.
Exactly right.
Interesting.
Two people. The state of Michigan is reporting that two people have now died from cyclospora. Those are, I guess, the first two deaths in the country.
Yeah, let's talk about explosive.
The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Now they do say that both of these people had underlying health conditions that may have been impacted by the illness and the dehydration that followed.
Oh.
Two deaths. Cyclospora.
Not good.
Today's August 3rd. 7 years ago today, the mass shooting at that Walmart in El Paso.
The shots were going, do. And then he was like, is that good shots? I said, yes. People were running inside saying there was a shooter.
I'm in the military, so when I hear gunshots, I just think, take cover.
23 people were killed that day, and 23 others that were injured. The gunman, Patrick Crucius of Allen, he told police afterwards that he was targeting Hispanics. He pleaded guilty. He's now serving a life sentence in the TDC.
Mm-hmm.
45 years ago today, it's 1981 on this date, air traffic controllers across the country went on strike despite a warning from President Ronald Reagan.
I must tell those who failed to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law. And if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
He wasn't messing around, was he?
No, he fired them all.
Yeah, those who did not show up, they were fired. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1971 on this date. It was 51 years ago today, or 55, that is, just a few months after the Beatles broke up. Paul McCartney announced the formation of his new band.
They live and let die.
Our favorite Wings song.
That's right.
band was called Wings. And speaking of the Beatles, they played their last gig at the Cavern Club in Liverpool on this date in 1963. And it was 90 years ago today, August 3rd, 1936, Jesse Owens stole the show at Hitler's Olympics in Berlin.
Jesse Owens was the fastest human of his day, and he took both the 200 and 100 meter titles. The Führer was furious and refused to present the gold medal to Jesse.
Jesse Owens won four gold medals at those Olympics. Two of them were sold at auction.
Take that, Hitler.
And they're now privately owned. The other two have disappeared. No one knows where they are. That's it for us. Show's over. Mike Rogers, Austin York, the Mid-Morning Mic Check this Monday morning. Thanks so much for listening. Podcast version, check that out. The Mid-Morning Mic Check, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.